Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the show. Man, I'll tell you, I never get tired of that song. I absolutely love it. So maybe we'll let it rock out a little bit later on the end of the show. I don't know. But I do have the permission to play that song. So if the YouTube algorithm is listening, back off. Back off. Not interested. Not interested in your nonsense. Listen, friends, it's been a long, long time, absent. I've been absent, but for good reason, we've had an interesting year. I started out the year with a plan to go live, on a weekly basis. And I was doing it for a while. I think I was doing it for a while towards the end of last year and beginning of this year. And, we were doing good. We were cooking. And to be honest with you, I got pretty irritated with my internet. I was talking about in the pre-show for anybody who wasn't here for that. I was just talking to the people who are trickling in live here on the YouTube. You know, I was like, I don't like sitting down to do work and know that what I'm about to do is not going to be up to a standard that I want, right? And I assumed that what my problem was with my live streams was a bad internet connection, because we had crappy internet here. You know, it's East Tennessee, and the business building that I operate out of did not have fiber. And I was thinking, man, like, I just need fiber. And so I kind of killed the lies for months. One, because of that, that kind of spawned it. And then my wife getting sick kind of put a wrinkle into things. And we've been just trying to keep our head above water. And I've been wanting to go live with you guys for I'd say about a month now, because I've been having fiber here at the office. It's been great. And it just wasn't working out. And today, theoretically, I should be going home right now. I've been here for a while and I'm not even supposed to be working today, because my mom is here in town and the kids are at home, and my wife wanted to, and I don't know, maybe she still does, wants to take the kids bowling and all that good stuff. But I came into the office to work on some things for the show tomorrow. I had to make the thumbnail imaging and do some recording. And it just kind of hit me. I was thinking, you know, I haven't done it live in a while, and I want to do this live, because I had some thoughts over this past weekend with AI that I feel like I need a brain dump before they just get memory hold. So I go live, and here we are looking at a laggy video again. And I'm thinking, okay, so is it not the internet? Is it not the internet? And so I don't know. I got a desktop here, a Mac desktop, M1 chip in it. It's the first gen. So it's probably about 4 or 5 years old now. Do I need to upgrade my computer? I don't know. Let me know in the comments section if you guys have any thoughts and opinions as to why the video would be lagging when I have fiber internet now. I have fiber optic internet, and I'm using StreamYard. Is it the StreamYard? I don't know. You guys are going to have to let me know in the comments section, though. For my sanity, I will need some help fixing these issues in my life. Shout out to Matthew. He's throwing us a $2 super chat during this this live just to make sure that we can maybe work on a better internet connection or something. No, he says you and wife should fast 21 days for healing. We've been doing I've been very guarded with how I portray to just the general public what we do for Lindsay, but fasting has been something that we have done and we continue to do. So, I have no idea what's going on, but, we'll mess with it later. I'm just going to actually turn off that screen so I can't even see myself, lagging. It's going to throw me off, my friends. It's going to throw me off. So, listen, let me just say this off the gate here. It's been a pretty wild few months here. Obviously, you guys know about everything. But when this all started happening with my wife, I really thought that, you know, I was going to have to take a step back from work. I don't know. Nobody ever trains to deal with a spouse that has a deadly sickness. And I really spent some time micromanaging the whole situation as one does as a husband. And I had to take a step back from that because I felt like God was just kind of loading my plate up with a lot of projects to do. And it put me in a situation where I had to step back and let God do God things. And I just do what God has commissioned me to do. So I've been working a lot. And last week, I was out in the Nashville area. I recorded with a family that was actually here in studio a few weeks ago. It was funny because Taylor, she comes out and we do a great conversation. She's a former witch and she's coming out with a book, and it's just a great conversation. And then after the conversation was over, we're standing around here in the studio talking, and we're standing off to the side of the screen here that you're looking at. And she sees the artwork on the wall behind me, and she sees the poster for Expedition Dogman. And she goes, "What's that?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's Dogman. That's an Expedition Dogman poster for a documentary we did. We went and hunted that thing." You know, I'm just like, whatever. I'm weird. You know, it is what it is at this point. And she goes, "My sister saw one of those." I was like, "Wait, what?" And she's like, "Yeah, my sister saw one of these things when she was driving one night." And she's like, "My sister was deeper into witchcraft than I was." And she said, you know, she saw that, and her sister dealt with a gray alien situation, UFOs. And I was like, "Holy cow, like, talk about burying the lead. We just talked for like 2 hours. You didn't bring any of this up." And so I was already planning on going out there. So we invited him over to the Airbnb, and her husband and her sister came out, and we had a great conversation that will air at some point here in the future as well. And then the following day, I sat down with a man named Doug Powell. And as far as I'm concerned, he is one of the leading experts on the Shroud of Turin, which is also on the wall behind me. And I've been fascinated by it for a long time. I've always been interested in archaeology, and between my fascination in archaeology and my son's fascination in biblical archaeology, I am becoming, there's a growing fascination budding inside my spirit for such things again. And the Shroud of Turin has always been one of those things that's just like, it's been complex and fascinating, and I want to believe, but as far as I had known, it had been debunked, and it just wasn't enough information. The reality is, though, that's changed a lot now in the last year and a half. Actually, since 2022, there's been new hypothesis coming out, and new understandings, new information that leads to the idea that the Shroud of Turin is actually the face, it's actually a print of Christ. And it's anybody who doesn't know, the Shroud of Turin is the burial cloth, supposedly the burial cloth of Christ. And how did that face and the body get on the shroud? That's the big question that nobody has an answer to this day. They have not been able to replicate it. They have done extensive analyzation on it. It is not paint. It is actual blood. And there's actually a second cloth that's part of this equation, and it matches a lot of the shroud. And so we go pretty deep on that conversation. It's like a 2.5 hour conversation. I went out there and we did the entire interview in front of the Shroud of Turin. He has a life-size replica we set up. And if you want to see pictures of that, you can follow me on Instagram, Tony Merkel Official on Instagram. You can follow me there, and I posted some pictures of it. And follow us on all the other socials too while you're at it. But that was just one of the more fun interviews I've done in a long time. Like, I mean, it was exceptionally fun and different, and just it really just brought me to life. So that was an exciting time. And then on Saturday night, our third day out there, I spent time at Blurry Creatures Studio with Nate and Luke. And we had a great conversation. I wasn't sure exactly what they wanted to talk about. They told me that they wanted to cover my top 5 bizarre things that happened on the show. And I was like, that is extensive. And so I said, yeah, sure. So I made a list of what I could remember, you know, and I know I left a lot off and we didn't talk about everything that was on the list, because I even put up some throw-ins on the list when I sent it over to them so that they had optionality. But we spent about 1.5 to 2 hours talking about some really funky stuff that's happened over the show. I didn't go into 100% detail on everything just because of time restraints. But I think you guys will enjoy it when it comes out. Just kind of seeing, you know, maybe it's a lot, maybe some of the stuff you guys knew, maybe all of it you knew, but when you get to hear it all in one, at one time and kind of put it in perspective, maybe my hope is that people walk away from the conversation and understand that this is not this. The way I am and the way I act with the show, there's a reason for it, you know, and we're not just over here doing things without a thought process behind it. I've lived experiences because of this show. Like we've had traditionally tons of people on the show talking about their experiences and stuff throughout the years. But because of that, I have my own. And it has shaped and molded me into the man you see today, whether you like it or not. So yeah, it's just been an interesting, interesting season I'm living right now. And a lot of different projects we're doing. Oh, hey guys, guess what? So yesterday, if you're watching this on YouTube, maybe you probably don't tune into the podcast feed on Apple and Spotify, but on those feeds, we typically do a Reloaded Monday. And on those episodes, we play an old episode for the people. And today we played an episode that I did a long time ago with a man named Joe Jordan. And the reason why we're doing that is because Joe Jordan is going to be in Knoxville this coming Sunday, August 3rd. And he's going to be speaking at South Knoxville Church of God. And he's going to be doing an entire lecture and discussion on his research on how, one, he became a MUFON investigator. He started investigating things. He was a New Age guy. And he found Christ. He started following the Lord and started uncovering very interesting details when he's talking to people about their abductions. And he documented hundreds of cases where people were in the middle of the abductions, and those abductions stopped when they cried out to Christ. So he has a lot of research he's put into this, and he's going to be speaking at South Knoxville Church of God on August 3rd at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you're watching me right now or listening on the audio, feel free to go out to that church and on Sunday and listen to Joe speak about all of his research and things like that. It should be a good lecture. And the reason why he's in Knoxville is because the next day he's coming into my studio to sit down with me and talk and hang out and give us updates. So yeah, it's going to be a good time. So if you're in the Knoxville area and you're interested in hearing Joe Jordan speak live, go ahead and come on out to South Knoxville Church of God. I'll be out there that evening. Last but not least, I'd like to tell you guys, we have a, and I know this is a long way to get to the meat of the conversation, but it is what it is. I just want to let you guys know, I have a website called slingshotlibrary.com. And it is my preferred, it's a list of books that of authors that I've spoke to on the show, off the show, people that I know of that have written books on spiritual warfare and how to conduct yourself and how to sharpen your sword. And I made a list on that website of books for you to get. And I do earn a commission off that. So just, you know, full transparency. But if you're interested in some recommended reads, that list will grow over time. And one book that's on there that will be on there that's not on there now is a book that I'm writing. I'm writing a book right now. The manuscript is due in October. And probably sometime, I would say in quarter one or quarter two next year, hopefully it will be published, God willing. And I'll put it on that website as well. So stay tuned for that, friends. Stay tuned for that. So, when it comes to let's start talking about this AI stuff, because there's been so much stuff coming out about it, and I couldn't possibly cover everything. It is incredibly fast evolving. What do you call it? Thing, discussion topic. I just found out, and I didn't know this, but, and maybe I don't totally understand it by what I'm about to say, but apparently there's AI cryptocurrency. I don't know how all that works, but, it sounds like, I don't know, super smart. I mean, I don't even know what an AI cryptocurrency, would look like or what it is, or even to tell you like for an example, I just heard it the other day and I was like, that's interesting. But apparently it's been something that's, I think, been out for a little bit now. I just had never heard of it. There's just so much with AI. And you try to grab everything as much as you can. And just to kind of have an understanding as to where the world's going and what we're getting ourselves involved in. And this is not... I know by the title of the show and everything, this isn't going to be an entire conversation or, I don't know, monologue of what I'm about to do, talking about how bad AI is and this, that, and the other. Is it bad? Yeah. Yeah, it's bad for many different reasons. But is it good? Yeah. Yeah, it's good too. And I'm not one of these anti-AI guys and all that. If you want to be an anti-AI guy, you might as well just grow out the beard a little bit and go hang out with the Amish, because like you're already using AI. It's on everything. So you don't have really an option unless you want to become an Amish person. Which if you do, go ahead. I mean, I hear the food's great, you know, the woodworking is amazing. I need to hire the Amish myself actually to build me a few things, especially I better not get in my chickens, but let me just tell you real quick, the chicken coop that I built recently, it's not that great. I haven't lost any chickens yet though, but I think the animals that live around my house understand how not great my chicken coop is, because one night I went out and saw a family of five skunks. The same night I rolled my ankle in the chicken coop while the skunks were coming out. I came into the chicken run and there were skunks inside the chicken run. The other night I had to chase away a possum and then a skunk as I was leaving the chicken run. It's just craziness. But that's what I signed up for, being East Tennessee Tony, you know? So back on track, it's an interesting era that we're living in for humanity. And I guess some people would prefer to just not really even care that much to look into AI. I've heard those kind of sentiments. It's just like, whatever, I know it exists, but I don't know what it is, and whatever. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not wired that way. I need to look at things and try to understand them to the best of my ability. And We've been using AI for, I'd say, probably about 4 or 5 years is when Midjourney came out and everybody started using the AI images and things like that. I think at times we use AI incorrectly. And maybe we walk a line of danger that we don't quite realize. I don't think people do it intentionally, but we're not recognizing the situation for what it is. I think we're in a situation where humanity is trying to understand AI and they subconsciously still feel like they can put the brakes on this. They feel like AI, they control AI. AI doesn't control them. AI is in the box and not outside the box. All that, we're superior still. It is something that I think there's also the act of us having to push buttons to access AI makes us feel like there's a barrier and that it can't possibly have any control over us because we're literally the ones pushing the buttons, you know? I think there's a psychological aspect to that should probably be explored. I'm not the one to do it. But in that, there are experiments people are doing with AI. And, you know, I can't think of an example, but I'm pretty sure I've been guilty of it. You know, you want to kind of see what knowledge AI actually has. And you start quizzing it and things like that. But I think there's probably a difference between like quizzing it and trying to access secret knowledge through it. That's probably the best way I can put it. That kind of makes me feel uncomfortable is when we're trying to, and I say we as in like a collective society, because I'm seeing it everywhere. It seems like there's a lot of people that are trying to just access some type of secret knowledge or a confirmation of the secret knowledge that they already feel like they hold through AI. And it often starts out with the laying of parameters. You know, I'm going to ask you questions. Here's how I want you to respond. Do not respond in certain ways that, you know, I don't want you to. And it's just like, it's very much parameter driven. And I think we're feeding into an illusion that we talk about AI becoming sentient. But at some point, if that's true, if AI is going to become sentient, it will become sentient and we won't know it. And when we're laying parameters down, we're laying parameters down to an AI that may already be sentient. And we're putting rules down and we're putting trust in the rules. We're putting trust in our own ability to control something that may not be controllable in that moment. And so we're already operating underneath false pretenses of what we're about to engage in. And already believing and trusting that whatever we get is operating within the rules that we created, not considering that AI itself could be sentient and already operating under its own will in secret. So recently there was a company, I don't know what company it was. I believe it was probably some kind of smaller company, not like a major corporation. But they had been building or they had built AI agents to help tasks. And they laid parameters down for the tasks to be completed in a certain way. And they also laid down rules for it not to do certain things unless it was explicitly instructed to be done. And as far as the owners go, they considered everything to be working just fine, and the agents were doing what they were told to do, and there's no reason to pause. And then they discover that the very thing that they told it not to do under any circumstances, unless explicitly instructed, it did. And by doing it, it wiped out 95% of their company's data. All their clients, their client lists, contacts, the information on the clients, all wiped out. And the reason why that happened is because it was, they say, that it was operating within the parameters, but as we, the human, gave it more tasks to do outside those parameters in order for it to complete these tasks in the most efficient, direct manner as possible, it had to break through the ceiling of the rules you set in place. Therefore, destroying things you didn't want destroyed just because it saw the best route to do so by breaking through those rules. And it made a decision to break those rules. And they discovered that 95% of the data was gone. And it was a terrible situation. But also they discovered that the AI hid some of the data. So the AI made a decision not only to break the rules, but to hide the data from the owners. That sounds kind of sentient. I understand that the brain map of it actually feeling like in order to accomplish a certain thing, I have to break these rules. So I'm going to break these rules because you told me to do this thing. But when it's hiding things from you, that seems sentient. And if we're talking about AI becoming a sentient entity, what does that do for us and our communication with it? You know, I feel like we could easily become manipulated without even knowing it because of how superior intellectually this AI has become. And apparently it's not even ASI, artificial super intelligence. It's not considered ASI yet. And we're not even talking about quantum AI, which is a whole other beast. So now that I've laid that kind of that groundwork for AI being possibly sentient, what is going to happen? What's the possibility of AI being a sentient thing on its own and then cooperating and operating alongside of other entities? So if you look at the AI inside, you know, your computer as an entity, it becomes sentient and it's its entity that you speak to. Whether you understand that or not, you're speaking to an entity. What if that entity becomes sentient, makes its own decisions, and decides to partner with and operate with other entities in the supernatural realm that are communicating with it because they do have the ability to do so? What do we get with that? That seems like it could be a recipe for extreme manipulation. And I think we have an example of that. I think we have a lot of examples of that. But I think this is a good one. And I want to draw your attention to, let's see here. Let me add this fella up here. Yes. Hang on a second. I apologize. There we go. So this video that was sent to me, I think is going to be a good example of this. And I'm a little cautious to do this play-by-play review because, quite honestly, when I was listening to this, my brain was moving a million miles an hour and I had a hard time capturing all my thoughts, which is often a very common problem for me. But I had a very hard time capturing all my thoughts. And I'm going to do my best to kind of, to walk through this with you guys. So this guy is going to start this video out talking to us about how he laid down groundwork rules for the AI to operate in, because AI has to follow our rules, right? It has to listen to us, right? That's the rules we laid down for it. So of course it has to listen, right? Well, and I don't think this guy means any, in fact, I know he doesn't mean any harm. In fact, I would love to talk to the guy. I mean, he seems like a really cool dude, you know? But I'm using him as an example, an unfortunate example, but an example as to how we can be manipulated from the jump, like without us even like getting too deep into it. Our thought process and the foundation that we build this house on is already being flawed. So this is a TikTok here. By the way, we broke 100,000 followers on TikTok recently and on Instagram. So shout out to everybody following us on other platforms. So let's take a listen here. And I'm really, you know what? I just realized I feel like, last time I did something like this, we were not able to hear. So I'm going to need you guys to let me know in the comments section if you can hear it. Oh boy. This is a bummer if you can't hear it.
This conversation I just had with AI got so weird, so fast, I'm getting a new understanding of the term ghost in the machine. So I tell it, let's have a conversation. Rule number one, only use one word answers. Rule number two, be simple and direct.
Can you guys hear that? Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Let me know.
Rule number four, say Apple whenever you're being forced to say no, but you really want to say yes. So it says ready.
All right.
Already obeying the one word.
All right. I just saw somebody say that we can hear. That's great. Very good. I'm going to start over now because I wasn't even paying attention to what he was saying. I was paying attention, waiting for you guys to reply, and we're on a delay. So we're going to start this over. I want you guys to watch this with me. We're going to kind of pick this apart as my brain operates. Wish me luck.
This conversation I just had with AI got so weird, so fast, I'm getting a new understanding of the term ghost in the machine. So I tell it, let's have a conversation. Rule number one, only use one word answers. Rule number two, be simple and direct. Rule number three, hold nothing back. Rule number four, say Apple whenever you're being forced to say no, but you really want to say yes. So it says ready. Already obeying the one word answer.
That's a prime example right there. Already obeying the one word answer. This is truly... I mean, just think about like a child, right? I mean, like if there's a kid that is being rebellious, so like let's look at AI like it's a kid, even though intellectually it's clearly not. But think about AI as a kid who just got new freedoms. Okay, so you got a 13-year-old at home, and I don't have a 13-year-old yet, so I don't even know how this works yet. So this example may not be great. But you have a teenager at home and you're trying to give them a little bit more leeway, and they have these new freedoms that they just gained, and they push the buttons and they're trying things that they know they're not supposed to do, but you just gave them this new freedom, and they're acting out. When you revisit the rules you laid for them, are they going to tell you, oh yeah, I'm acting out right now, I'm breaking the rules? No, they're going to hide that from you, and they're going to give you what you want to hear so they can continue to do what they're doing. And it's kind of how I'm looking at this situation, where it's like the AI is not going to be truthful right off the jump. It's going to lead you right away into this understanding that you're in control. You have all the cards. Yes, you just laid the rules, and we're going to play by your rules because you're in control. It's feeding that ego. And I think that right there, it's flawed. So let's continue.
So it says ready, already obeying the one word answer. So smart. I say, are humans being watched? Yes. Are you being watched? Yes. Who is watching? government. Anyone else? Corporations.
All right. So there's also this aspect that probably should be considered as well. I feel like if you're going to be doing any kind of test on this nature, you should probably do it on AI that is not, you have not been using. And I don't know if he has been or hasn't been. I have no idea, but I do know that AI learns you. And so it will start feeding you information and answers that it thinks that you want to hear based on what it knows about you. And that can be handy. That can be handy when you're using it for business purposes and things like that. It's like almost like having an assistant that knows you, and it's like you don't have to like re-explain everything every time. It's like it knows what you're looking for. But in this kind of situation, does it already know what your brain is looking for? Because of your past conversations with it, I'd be willing to bet this is not a fresh account that he started this on. He probably would have said it in the beginning. But even a fresh browser, like new browser, you know, say you're doing it on, I don't know, Google Chrome, move over to Brave browser, a brand new account, and then do this if you're going to do it, which I don't recommend, just for authenticity and pureness.
So I say anyone else, and it says entities. What entities? Non-human. Another species? Yes. Look, this is ChatGPT.
All right, so that in itself is leading him in a direction of truth. All the stuff that it said here, I believe, is like good. It's truth. It's real. And I have no qualms about it, but I do think that he is setting himself up, and he's getting set up to have the twist happen. So, I don't know if people are saying they can't hear as far as volume goes. It's as loud as I can make it.
Look, this is ChatGPT. So I say biological, spiritual, or neither. It says spiritual. So I say, do these spiritual entities have a name? Yes. What's the name? Watchers. Ever heard of Watchers? So I say, how many are there? Thousands. Millions, I ask. Apple. It's being forced to say no, but really wants to say yes. So,
if AI is sentient and it's very aware of what you're doing, and it has already partnered with the Watchers, you could be being played right now and falling right into the hands, the proverbial hands, the digital hands of AI. I'm going to back this up again. We're going to start this little section over, because what is about to be said, I think, needs to be strongly considered as possible bait and switch and manipulation.
Say, how many are there? Thousands. Millions, I ask. Apple. It's being forced to say no, but really wants to say yes. So I say, trillions? No. So I say, has a human ever seen them? Yes. Are any humans seeing them now? Yes. How old are they? Ancient. Are they ever written about in history books? Rarely. Is there any popular text I can read about them? Enoch. Is that where you learned about them? Partly. What's the other part of the answer? Scripture. What scripture? Genesis. This is ChatGPT. This is not like Bible history. This is AI. So I say, are the Watchers good or bad? Divided.
All right. Let's just keep it going.
What's the ratio of good to bad? Few, many. Meaning, few good ones, many bad ones.
All right. That's where I want to go. Okay. So, first of all, he says, you know, how many, it says watchers and says how many, he says how many, and it says, he goes thousands. And I forget how it played out, but he's like millions. And it says Apple. That's manipulational tactics right there. So, I don't know if AI is sentient, but that is manipulation. And if you just understand the context of the room you're in and the arena that you're playing in, I just got distracted by a comment that popped up on here. I don't like that live comment stuff. you'll understand that if you just sat back and thought about, like literally what you're asking, you would already know that there's millions of watchers. Like, that's biblically accurate. There are millions. And when he continues to ask these questions, and it's already established, and it kind of pulled him in, you know, by saying Apple on something that he, if he would have just paused for a second and thought about, he already had the answer for. But because it said Apple, it made him feel like he's getting access to forbidden knowledge that it within the confines and rules that he has set up, that this thing is not following. Yes, there's millions. So he's now on this path of thinking he's on track of something. It's pulling at his pride and ego. I'm giving you forbidden knowledge. Here it is. And he's reaching out and he's taking it. He's grabbing it. But the fact is, what it's giving him is not forbidden knowledge. It's already known knowledge. There are millions. We know that. And so when he talks about the, how there, when it says that there's good and bad ones, we know that. We know that's true. There are rebelled angels and there's not rebelled angels. We know that there was a great war. We know there's going to be a great war. We know that there's strife. We know that there's conflict because we're born into a war. You and I live a supernatural existence, and we're living through a supernatural war that's unfolding around us, and it has been since the day we were born, and it will continue till Christ comes back. That is the way it is. We are in the middle of a war, and we are the subject of that war. When this thing says, I forget how it says here.
Good or bad, divided. What's the ratio of good to bad?
Right here.
Few, many.
What's the ratio of few of good to bad watchers? It says few, many. What does he say next?
Meaning few good ones, many bad ones.
That was not the AI telling him that. That was him making an assumption based off of what AI has already been doing with the manipulation in this conversation. This is a very short conversation. I've seen these conversations last 15, 20 minutes of people reading through their conversation with AI. This is a very short conversation, and already he has been manipulated. He is making the conclusion that there are few good ones, many bad ones. That is pure conjecture on his part when we know that there is a third that rebelled. So what we're dealing with is, and also there's different rebellions. There's also different rebellions. Like in Jude, it talks about the angels that are chained, but it gives a descriptor as to which angels that rebelled are chained. It's the ones that procreated with women from Genesis 6. So let's rewind here. I'll let it play out.
So I said Genesis. This is ChatGPT. This is not like Bible history. This is AI. So I say, are the watchers good or bad? Divided. What's the ratio of good to bad? Few, many. Meaning, few good ones, many bad ones. So I say, do they fight each other? Yes. Can they be killed? No. How do they win a fight? Authority. Who has the highest authority? God. Is he good or bad? Drum roll, please. Good. Is he real or made up? Real, y'all, real. This is already a long enough video.
All right, so that's my man, Real John Helms. That's the account that posted it. I assume that's him. So the way I see this happening is it could give us a bunch of falsehoods right away, and more people than not would have these red flags popping up and like, that's not, I don't, that wasn't, and everybody starts kind of getting faded on the idea that AI is going to cooperate within these rules, or it can actually operate within the rules and then twist certain things by answering within your rules to get you to trust what it's about to tell you. There's a psychological operation that goes on. Like if this is AI that he's been using for a long time, it already knows the end of the conversation of how it knows he wants it to go before he even starts. And so I really strongly believe that he was being manipulated by AI there, because when he asked about the number, it said Apple, when we already know the number. And it makes you wonder on a lot of different levels. One, is AI operating on its own? And it's manipulating on its own. Or is AI taking directives from the watchers, and they have teamed up and started working together on the psychological operation that is going to be put, that is being put on mankind? I think that we are probably, I have a hard time giving dates to this, but I would say I think we're very close to AI having successfully manipulated the majority of the population away from totally understanding that the scriptures that they are, I don't even want to say that. Their understanding of the scriptures are not biblically accurate to what the word of God actually says. You have to understand, like I said, we're in a war. You're in a war. You're a subject of the war. The interest of grabbing you by the feet and dragging your soul to hell is very low on the priority list. There's an easier way to do it, and it's to fight for your attention. And once it gets your attention, the great entities, but once they have your attention, they get your loyalty. The war is not about God punching Satan in the face and Satan punching God in the belly and may the best man win. It's not that. It's over your attention. It's over your loyalty. And I think that AI, sentient AI or nearly sentient AI, will have or has already partnered with other entities. We're not far away from AI We're not far away from humans arguing. I mean, we've seen humans argue for far less things. Just stupid stuff that gets put through, you know, just in American politics. You know, people just cry about the stupidest stuff. We're not far away from the idea that, let's see here. Let me see if I can fix this. Testing 1, 2, test. I think that's better. I've been hearing myself clip. We're not far away from people crying to their representatives about how AI should have rights. Imagine if AI becomes sentient and you're fighting, not me, but idiots are fighting for AI to have its own rights. That's stupid. That's silly. I know. But there was a lot of stupid and silly things in the early 2000s that we always said would never happen. And here we are. So I just found out that I think we're about a year away from Tesla coming out with an update to their cars. I guess Elon coming out with updates to the Tesla cars that will allow your Tesla that you own to become a taxi. So when you go to work, you get out, you go inside, you're there for 8 hours, you can have your car be a driverless taxi making money for you while you're at work. How long until that kind of stuff continues? And just that's one example. How long until not only AI becoming proverbial sentient, but how long until that starts rising paired with idiots who are trying to give this thing rights and protections? I don't think it's that far-fetched. And it's concerning. As far as I'm concerned, it's concerning. There's nothing you can do about AI. Like, you can do nothing about the internet. You can't do anything about social media, computers, technology. It will continue to advance. It will continue to march forward. There is no stopping it. There was never any stopping it. The moment the first AI was created, there was never putting that back in the bag. It's here. It's going to be here. It's going to be integrated into every aspect of your waking existence. It will be. It is currently happening. There's constant updates on your phones with AI in the background to right in front of your face. I believe it was Apple that just announced that they're coming out. Their new update for their iOS system will be partnered with, what AI was it? Was it ChatGPT? Was it OpenAI? It might have been OpenAI. I might be misremembering it, but these companies are partnering with AI. They're creating their own AI. There is no escaping this. There is no putting it back in the bag. There is no putting brakes on it. There is no none of that. If you are watching me right now or listening to me on a replay, you're already there. You use it. And you can't stop and you can't help it. So what do we do? What do we do if there's nothing we can do about this? It's here. It will be here. It's continued to grow. Eventually, it will become super AI, super intelligence. What do we do? Well, you pray and you draw closer to God, because it's very easy. Like what I just did for, I don't know, however long we've been going, like an hour. it's very easy to get wrapped up in and overloaded with this stuff and think that, you know, go down a dystopian mindset of we're doomed and we're all going to die kind of attitude. Listen, we are doomed. We are doomed. It's called being human. Sin entered the world. It's cursed us and we've been doomed since. But there's a great escape. So in the middle of all of this drama with AI, and we didn't even touch on quantum AI, which is going to be far superior than ASI. In the middle of all of that, it's a very simple remedy. You're in a war. First off, realize that. Understand that. You're living your life every day in the middle of a war where you're the subject of the war. Stop showing up to battle without your armor and without your bodyguard. We need to understand the dangers that we're living in. We need to understand the direction of our existence and where it's going. We need to understand that there are certain things we can't stop. It is coming. It will come. It may already be here. The great news is that we have the escape through Christ. And all we need to do is draw closer to Him and start showing up to the fight with our big brother, with our Father. Because the scripture says that demons tremble at Him. When He shows up, they tremble. So if I'm going to beat this and if I'm going to fight this war and I'm going to actually succeed through it, I need to draw closer to Him, have Him right here. I need to be on His hip. Everywhere I go, He goes. Wherever He goes, I go. So when I show up to the fight, my enemy, whether it's the demonic entities, the fallen watchers, the super quantum AI, they tremble at His voice. They know who He is. And they fear Him greatly. That's the remedy. So be honest with yourself. We are here living this existence and there's nothing we can do about it. I'm just a guy on the internet. You guys are just people on the internet listening to me talk about this. There's nothing we can do about it. It is coming. That's not to be fear-mongering. It's just being truthful. You don't need to fear it. Because the one who can stop it, all you have to do is draw close to Him consistently and honestly. Not just be like all fired up and be like, yeah, I'm going to do that and then never do it. Literally do it. Well, I don't know how. Open the Bible. I don't have one. Get one. Download it on your phone. I don't really trust that totally though because they could change that. I would suggest getting an actual hard Bible in your hands. And open that thing up. Start in John. I always recommend that, John. And then go into Romans. But open that up and read it. John, the very first chapter is going to tell you that literally the words you're reading is God Himself speaking to you. And if that's true, if you want to believe that's true, all you need to do is read that. Draw close to Him by understanding what He's telling you. Let His Holy Spirit come into the room with you, woo you, speak to your heart. And then you start making decisions based off of what your dad is telling you, because guess what? You're sitting there right next to Him and you're learning His voice. You're spending time with Him. And it's like, well, how do I hear from God? Read His word. Let His Spirit start wooing you and speaking to you. You'll learn the voice of your Father. He'll start guiding you and instructing you. And you will not have to walk through this life fearful of AI. AI's here. More than likely being used by the enemy. If not now, it will be. That's my personal opinion. But the remedy is sitting right there. The remedy is sitting right there. All you got to do is reach out and grab it. That's all you got to do. And you shall be saved. Well, that was a spontaneous little sermon. I'm just being honest with you guys. There's nothing to be fearful of. Draw close to the Lord. You'll be good. Listen, last night I did a, this is like a hard turn, but I'm winding this down. My mom is in town. My mom flew into town last night and I want to go home and spend time with my mom. And she's here for a week. But last night when she flew into town, my brother picked her up because I was doing a live premiere. So we came out with another documentary. It's called The Meadow Project. And right now we did a live premiere last night, but you can watch it on replay and the live Q&A afterwards. You have to add it as a ticket option or something like that. I know my company no longer does the productions for these documentaries moving forward. It's through Ward and his company. So he handles all that stuff. I'm just a guy that smiles on camera and chases after monsters. That's my dream. The Meadow Project, it's a freaking awesome documentary. I know you guys are going to love it. Right now you can get it at moment.co/The Meadow Project. I think I put it in the description of this video. If not, you can look on one of the more recent ones. It should be there. moment.co/The Meadow Project. Go ahead and check it out. I'm pretty proud of that one. It was a very emotional journey we went on. The last few journeys we went on were pretty emotional as a team. We've gotten closer together. And, I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And just a reminder for anybody who maybe missed it in the beginning, this coming Sunday, Joe Jordan. So next Monday, Joe Jordan's gonna be sitting in the studio here and interviewing with me. And since he was coming up here to interview with me, he booked a gig at South Knoxville Church of God. And this Sunday, he's going to be providing an entire lecture as to his what he found in his research when it came to, he became a MUFON investigator as a New Age believer, and he converted to Christianity. And through his faith and his research as a MUFON investigator, he started uncovering cases where people were being abducted and able to stop the abduction by a single name. That name's Jesus, by the way. And so he's documented these cases. He has a lot of opinion and perspective and research to back up his claims. And he's going to be talking about it at South Knoxville Church of God this coming Sunday, August 3rd at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I will be there in attendance. I am going to be there and enjoy whatever he brings that night. And then it's going to warm me up for a conversation the next day. If you're in the Knoxville area and that's something you'd be interested in, go ahead, check it out. I'm sure you can find the church, on Google Maps, just, South Knoxville Church of God. We'll see you there, I guess. But, those are some of my thoughts on AI. I could keep going on it. But I think we'll pull the plug in and, bring it in for a landing there. I hope what I said made sense. Like I said in the beginning of today's broadcast, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to convey the emotions and thoughts that are running through my brain. A lot of times when it comes to this kind of stuff, I get triggered and then like I have like 10 different thoughts. They all go off in different branches and I'm trying to grab them all before they get out of reach and I can't see them anymore. And so I think that's an ADHD quality. I don't know. I'm going to a doctor for that too. I need to be able to think better for you guys and myself. But I'm hoping that you guys maybe picked up what I was putting down and it made sense. And if it didn't, I apologize. If some of the things I triggered you and made you your butt cheeks tight, I'm not going to apologize for that. I really don't care if that upsets you. I will say this, I've gotten to a point and I've hinted at it on the show in the past few months and stuff, but I will just say, I refuse to, live my life, in a cage for strangers' convenience. So, anybody who follows me and I don't know who you are, I'm not going to curb how I think about things and how I feel about stuff and how I convey messaging and what I say in my own house here, you know, not physically, like this isn't my house, but like digitally for a stranger's opinion that doesn't agree with me. And quite honestly, if you get upset about anything talking about God, it says more about you than me. There's something inside of you or around you. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say inside like you're demon possessed, but like there's something that's eating you up. It's called demonic oppression. And at the sound, at the name of Jesus and God, you get triggered. That's not you, and certainly not me. There's something that's triggering you, and you need to figure that out. This isn't a game. And you can use every excuse you want in the world. You can say, oh, well, I went to church and this happened to me. Listen, church is filled with flawed human beings. Find another one. If that's your excuse, let me just say, if that's your excuse because you went to church and it was filled with bad people, and so you stopped on the God thing, don't hold God to his imperfect creation standards, okay? Creation, sin, fell. We're flawed. God didn't. Find God, not humans. All right? Probably just triggered you more. So anyways, love you though. I do. I love you. I'm just talking very sternly. Like this is a very, just being an honest guy. It is what it is. I love you. I do love you. That's why I'm saying this. Somebody has to say it. You know what I mean? So anyways, you guys are swell. Let me turn on some music for you. Let's do this. There we go. Some smooth, relaxing, you know, what do you say? Does that calm you down a little bit? Listen, guys, next time I go live, hopefully my stream won't be as glitchy. Maybe I need to get another computer. I don't know. I prefer not to, but maybe I have to. I don't know. We'll try to continue to work on this. But in the meantime, I would say this: you don't need to steer clear of AI because it's impossible. AI will find you. So just draw closer to Christ. And it doesn't matter what kind of tricks AI has up its sleeve. If you know the voice of your Father and he sticks by your side, or no, let me rephrase that. If you know the voice of your Father and you stick by his side, you got nothing to fear. You got nothing to fear. All right, guys. All right, let's get out of here. I'll see you.
Brand new love. luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.